This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 23rd, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 222. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and the big deal feature. The Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics are coming next month, despite the pandemic and despite China's human rights abuses. My guest is snowboarder Drew Nielsen, who competed for Canada in the 2006 and 2010 Winter Olympics. Nielsen explains why he is ashamed of the games. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or did you hear the news? The NDP government wants the two-year-old pandemic to be over right now. Dr. Bonnie Henry announced on January 21st that the deadly virus should be treated more like the flu or a cold. She thinks it's time for COVID-19 to go endemic, to be just another virus. This is music to the ears of the COVIDiots who've called this a flu since day one. But it is horrific news for seniors, children, and people living with diseases and disabilities. In the Omicron wave, testing and tracing are a shambles. BC's booster campaign began late. Most people getting sick now are double-dosed. People are still dying. A society is judged on how it protects its weakest. Dr. Bonnie Henry's latest experiment is premature and very likely to result in more misery. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. The Winter Olympics begin February 4th in Beijing, but human rights activists wonder why the games are going ahead due to the Chinese Communist Party's abuse of Uyghurs, Tibetans, and Hong Kongers and threats to invade Taiwan. There are still unanswered questions about how the coronavirus that originated in Wuhan in 2019 infected the world. Athletes have been warned about surveillance. Chinese authorities have threatened to arrest any that protest. Human rights groups say they can't trust the IOC to protect the athletes. My guest is Drew Nielsen, a Canadian snowboarder who competed at the Turin 2006 and Vancouver 2010 Olympics. He's also a multiple world champion. You called for a full boycott for all athletes not to go. Why did you speak up?
I just felt I'd had enough. I mean, being an Olympian, the IOC holds you to a very high standards of social responsibility and equality and things to live your life in Olympism. And I feel that I've been cheated of that by the IOC taking the games to places like this, where this, the issues that you brought up is happening. And it makes me disgusted to be called. I don't want to be called an Olympian anymore, because I don't want to be associated to that committee anymore, the International Olympic Committee, because they're doing dirty business with the devil. And I called for a full boycott because it's the right thing to do. We should not be sending our athletes there. Also, my first concern was the safety of the athletes. Why Justin Trudeau wouldn't say, no, you can't go, or, hey, why don't you go, but you can go be part of the IOC refugee team and, you know, find your own sponsors and go there and compete at the Olympics. Still, you get a chance at the medal. It's just, we're not going to fund you, right? As a Canadian, too, we fund those teams. And we pay to have the CBC broadcast the genocide games to us. And anyways, just all this stuff just came to me, and I finally just said, I had enough. I have to say something. And yes, calling for a boycott seems ludicrous, but it is the right thing to do. I just had enough. I couldn't take it anymore, Bob.
What has been the response from the public, from the media, from people you know, from strangers, from athletes that you've competed with and competed against that you still stay in touch with? What has been the response from those different groups?
I've had a lot of positive support from people around me by word of mouth, guys at work. Anybody who's seen it, I was approached at the pub. Somebody saw my CBC story and was like, yeah, good on you, you know, and everybody's really supportive of the stuff I've just been doing recently in the media. But I've also had some hate, of course, we always do on the internet, but, you know, just like, who's this schmuck? How many medals does he have? And, you know, what does he know? You know, why should we listen to him? What was his best finish? And I'm like, what, who cares what, how I finished? This is about human life. This is about torture and rape and killing. And yeah, it's just, it's wrong. It's so wrong that this, the best sporting event in the world that happens every 4 years is going to be held in this venue.
Yet the IOC for so long has not said a thing. It seems to be that this is really more or less a commercial venture.
Yeah, it's a money-making scheme, and you can see it. It's very evident how deeply entrenched the IOC is with the CCP to make this thing happen and make as much money as possible. The prime example is the Peng Shui incident, where nobody saw her for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden the IOC has a magic meeting with her for half an hour that they didn't show to anybody. And they go on and said, oh, yeah, she's fine. Well, I'm going to have lunch with her in the Olympics in a few months. She's great, everybody. And meanwhile, the World Tennis Association can't get a hold of her. They can't get confirmation that she is actually free thinking and safe. And they pulled all their tennis out of China. I thought that was fantastic. Like, where's the ATP following along? You know, it's disgusting what's going on. There's a sterilization of those people we've been talking about, the Uyghurs, the people of Tibet, the people of Turkestan, the flying of airships into Taiwan. You know, like, it's just, the list is endless. You know, like you said, the pandemic going on. The biggest thing too, the two Michaels, Kovrig and Spavor, you know, abducted basically after we detained Meng Wanzhou. And I mean, they didn't spend 3 years in a nice, beautiful house in the west end of Vancouver. They were in Chinese jail. It's just, it's unbelievable that people can look past this and look past what's going on there. Because I did an interview with the Tibetan Youth Council or Congress, and he described, basically what he described to me is what happened in our residential school system in Canada in the past, and it's currently happening in China.
Are you hearing from any athletes who are having second thoughts about going to China under this environment?
I've got a couple of responses, two from Americans. They're the only ones who've actually responded to me. And one was under the impression that bringing the games to the Chinese country was going to bring, you know, a spotlight to the blah, 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 blah. And I've heard that before. And, you know, there's no spotlight. They're going to show everything they want to show. If you leave the village, you're going to be escorted or to like a something. They're going to show you what you want to see. That's their goal, is to keep your union as a little bubble. And, you know, as an athlete, that disgusts me, that that's, again, what it's come to work your whole life to become the best at your sport. And you have to go there and basically give up your personal freedoms, be concerned about your personal safety, be concerned about your cybersecurity when you're there, and also your DNA. Like, this is a cash cow for the Chinese. And, you know, I never thought about this angle of what the tests were all going. I appreciate you bringing it to my eyes here, but it's ballooning. It's ballooning. And now with the virus breaking out there too, there's just another angle. But yeah, as far as the human rights are concerned, they shouldn't go. Like, I would not go. I would have not gone anyways, but like, the closer it gets, for sure, I would love to hear somebody. If one of the athletes would speak up to me and actually voice some sort of fear, I've said, hey, guys, I'm really concerned about you guys going there. If you go, be careful. But I've also encouraged them to, you know, at least show some. There's a sign for the human rights protest, the human rights group that I've been working with. And we would love to see a massive protest by the athletes of, you know, the countries that are diplomatically boycotting. Because I'm in the firm belief that if there's thousands of athletes that are showing the symbol, that China will be powerless. And if they do anything, it's going to be a real, not a serious problem, serious issue, what goes on there. But I believe there's power in numbers. One athlete, sure, they'll probably nab them. Like, again, nobody's ever going to say, oh, I'm pretty sure the athletes are 100% safe there. And that, again, is another red flag. Why are we there? Why are we going to these places? Why is the Olympics there? I couldn't watch Japan because it was just a cash cow for the IOC, and Japan saw no money for their tourists, their economy. They spent $30 billion building all this stuff, and the IOC came in and sold the TV rights and said, thank you. And yeah, this human rights thing has to, it's just, their rights are being impeded. They cannot be free there. And that is just so wrong.
My guest is Drew Nielsen, a Canadian snowboarder who competed at two Winter Olympics. I asked Drew how athletes who have trained for the last 4 years will be able to perform in an environment where they could be subject to a level of spying and hacking that could cheat them out of an Olympic medal.
Yeah, the whole village could be bugged. The technology these days, like, I mean, you think, okay, my board's being waxed by my wax tech in this room that may have a camera in it, and they're going to see everything that he does to it, or my skis, or they're going to listen to the conversations in the physio. Like you said, the whole place could be wired. It could be absolutely just a full-on information gathering machine so that they can learn to win. And like you said, it's just... I can't. I'm disgusted. I'm absolutely floored. I can't. I won't be watching a single second, just like I did for Tokyo. And I will continue to fight against this as long as I can, and whoever will listen. The big red flag, like you said, you can't even trust your phone to be safe there. The phones they're going to give you, the app they're using, like you can't. You just, there's no trust there. There's no, you cannot feel safe. And the IOC, the committee that organizes the games for you, cannot guarantee your safety when you're there. That is absolutely unbelievable. Like, that is just, somebody needs to go after the IOC for this. Not only athletes, but maybe a human rights tribunal, some sort of, I don't care what, but this has to stop, and they need to be held accountable. Again, I'd love to hear from every single person on the athletes, IOC athletes commission, as to how all the athletes who sit on this commission said to the IOC, yeah, we'll go to China. Let's go take the games to China. And I wonder how much their bank account got bigger, or they're just negligent and not doing their job.
Undoubtedly, as the Beijing games unfold and after they're over, the spotlight will shift to bidding for 2030. Should Vancouver bid for another games after hosting them in 2010?
I'll never be able to trade any of the memories that I have of Vancouver 2010. It was such a fabulous time. You know, like you said, My biggest memory obviously was my race and having my family there and the whole day and everything. But one of the fondest memories I have is when Alex won his moguls. Alex Bilodeau won the first gold medal and basically cracked the show wide open. And I was standing on the balcony at the athletes' village of our Team Canada house up on the 13th floor or something. And you just heard the whole roar of the city, and it was phenomenal. But I don't believe they should come back. Like I said, if we still don't know, like you said, big keywords there, we still don't know what the cost was. Yes, we benefited, you know, with infrastructure, you know, the highway to Whistler. I think the Canada Line part of that kind of build up, and we benefited from it. And yeah, we have the venues and stuff, but it's dirty. The IOC is dirty now to me, and I don't think anybody should be doing business with them without them having some sort of accountability, being held accountable for what they're doing now. And again, everything all of a sudden goes up in price. You know, by the time we get the games here, it's more and more and more. And you look at what's going on in the world right now with inflation, you know, cost of living around here. People are scrambling to live here in BC, and we don't need to invite the IOC here to take more money from us. I'll be dead before I was over my dead body before the games come back here, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks again to Drew Nielsen for joining us on the Breaker.News podcast.
Thanks very much, Bob. I really appreciate it. Let me talk about this and getting the word out. So yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Hong Kong Free Press, China warns of no mercy in regulatory crackdown. Jack Ma's Alibaba-linked Ant Group in crosshairs. Beijing must show no mercy to those who engage in political gangs, small circles, and vested interests within the party, said a statement from the government, while warning of further investigation into corruption in the financial sector and state-owned enterprises. The warnings follow the airing of a state television program that implied the involvement of tech giant Jack Ma's Ant Group in a corruption scandal. Critics argue China's anti-corruption campaign has served as a way to remove political enemies since Xi Jinping came to power in 2013. In Taiwan news, cyber attacks on Taiwan institutions surged by 38% in 2021. Cyber attacks reached an average of more than 2,600 per week last year, reported Checkpoint Software Technologies. The frequency was higher in Taiwan than on a global scale, where hackers tried to attack institutions on average 925 times per week, a rise of 50% from 2020. The attacks targeted educational and research bodies, followed by government and military institutions. In stuff.co.nz, Tongan tsunami. Our ears were ringing. Tongans describe harrowing volcano eruption. Marianne Kupu was at home with her family when she heard the loudest sound in her life. An explosion far more powerful than an atomic bomb had occurred about 65 kilometers away from Tonga's capital, shattering her windows. Kupu is a journalist at a radio station. Her radio station interviewed Lisala Folau, a 57-year-old retired carpenter who was swept out to sea by the tsunami while he was painting his house. Folau said he was painting his house on the island of Atara when his brother warned him of the approaching wall of water. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregon Governor Kate Brown unlawfully commuted sentences of nearly 1,000 inmates, lawsuit claims. Brown freed inmates who were deemed at heightened risk of contracting COVID-19. They were medically vulnerable, had completed at least half their sentences, and were not serving time for crimes against people. 44 inmates and 3 jailers have died of COVID-19 since the onset of the pandemic, state records show. The lawsuit claims Brown broke rules requiring individual commutation applications and unlawfully delegated her responsibilities to state agencies. In King 5, Washington residents can now order up to 5 free at-home COVID tests from the state. The recently announced portal, Say Yes COVID Test website, came online Friday. The state has committed to buying 3.5 million at-home tests and distributing those to Washingtonians. In the Times Colonist, in light of COVID cases, Pacific Opera's Carmen, Victoria Beer Week postponed. Theater lights will go dim with the postponement of a presentation of the opera Carmen in the face of high COVID-19 cases. Disappointed opera lovers won't even be able to cry into their beer, as Victoria Beer Society has postponed the Victoria Beer Week event that was originally scheduled to be held in March until April 1st.
The biggest sports superstar in Cascadia, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, is coming to Vancouver on April 26th. Get in the huddle at the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association annual banquet. For information and tickets, go to icba.ca or call toll-free 1-800-663-2865.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to
teachers, librarians, English as a second language instructors, and parents who read their children bedtime stories. It's Family Literacy Week in BC until the 30th. So I'm making a salute to everyone who helps teach reading.
You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine, because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it?
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 23rd, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on January 23rd in 1972, 50 years ago at the Pacific Coliseum, it was Schmocky 1972, starring comedian Artie Johnson, world skating champion Don Jackson. The BC Lions and Calgary Stampeders broomball teams tied 4-4. The news media beat politicians 4-3 in a hectic hockey game, and the Italians beat Greeks in broomball. There were 11,000 people, and they paid a dollar to see this. Now you know.
Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's PATREON.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.